are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Episode 4, Monday, June the 15th, and we got some GM names and a draft debate today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, a little bit of news on the GM search late Sunday night and early Monday morning. We're also going to have a roundtable conversation with Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks and Alex Wolf of Locked On Knicks as we're going to hash out the Delete 8 mock draft. That's right, the top three picks came off the board already in Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, and Obi Toppin. And we went 4, 5, and 6, Pistons number 5. Obviously, these are two teams that are right in the mix with the Pistons and lottery odds, and also ultimately probably with draft position as well. So we wanted to hash out some of the players with those guys and see what they think about our selections and et cetera, et cetera. So I've taped that with those guys. Excited to share that one with you. But like I said, some breaking news from Mark Stein of New York Times late on Sunday night saying that the Pistons are close to wrapping up with Troy Weaver. Hope to announce him relatively soon to be the GM of the Detroit Pistons coming over from the Oklahoma City Thunder, VP of basketball operations there. However, Woj comes off the top rope at 8:30 on Monday morning saying ESPN sources, three serious candidates have emerged for the Detroit Pistons GM job, Clippers assistant GM Mark Hughes, Nets assistant GM Jeff Peterson, and Thunder's VP of basketball operations Troy Weaver. Those conversations are continuing this week. So we'll dive into that more on shows later in the week because we got this draft. It's mock draft Monday here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. So we'll get into the draft stuff now. I'm going to have much more on these three candidates, all black dudes, by the way, as pointed out by Laz, I believe I saw on Twitter already today. So they're following the directive that we have here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Seems like they're taking that seriously, especially in this day and age. So good to see the Pistons doing their due diligence there. But let's get into the draft stuff, and we will talk more about those candidates on tomorrow's show. All right, and this is Matt Shook of Locked On Pistons, and today we are doing a little bit of a part two of the Delete 8 mock draft. We set up the current lottery order and enlisted some of the other Locked On hosts to help us out. And today joining us, first off, we got Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks. Brad, thanks for taking the time.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Alex Wolf of Locked On Knicks is joining us as well. Alex, thanks for doing this.
What's going on? Happy to be here too.
Yeah, for sure. So first off, what we're going to do is, in a separate episode, in a separate Locked On NBA chop-up that they're doing, the top three picks were made, and the Warriors and the Cavs and the T-Wolves came through it for us, and the hosts made their picks. So I'm just going to read off what the selections were. You know, this is the mock draft as it stands. Obviously, we know that the lottery will be coming up in August and could change the order, but we've got a lot of time and a lot of content to fill. First off, Brad, how about that? How are you guys filling up content on Locked On Hawks, and how are how's the Atlanta fan base kind of handling this delay of basketball?
It's a little weird, quite obviously, that everybody is going to be dealing with this so far. The Hawks are doing exit interviews this week, which has been helpful for me, to be sure. But eventually, between that and their comments – kind of on the record wanting to be in Orlando and their reactions to that. The well's going to drop a little bit, and we'll pivot back to the draft a ton. So this is good preparation for that. And the draft, fortunately for me, the draft is like my favorite thing in the world. So spreading out a little bit will be a little bit easier for me, but at the same time, doing several months of unscheduled programming to fill time is not easy for anybody. So we're all just plugging along.
Alex, what's the programming plan for Locked On Knicks these last couple months and then looking ahead to, about 5-6 more months ahead from now?
It's like a 24/7 news cycle with the New York Knicks. You know, there's never a lack of things to talk about. Uh-huh. And then when there is, someone makes sure that there's something to talk about always. So, yeah, we've had plenty, but we've done a couple mailbags and, whatever else we can come up with. But there's, I mean, other than that, you know, other than all the ridiculous stuff that you see pop up in the news and all the various weird stories that come up around the Knicks, they've also had a lot of front office hires and things of that nature. Now they're diving into a coaching search. Plus, we got the draft coming up and all that. So there's been plenty to talk about it.
I guess now that I think about it, there's really not much basketball talk with the Knicks, even when basketball is going on, right? So it's kind of...
Yeah, it depends. It depends. You know, we find ways to talk about it, but most people don't look at the Knicks, you know, from a through a basketball lens, even during the basketball season usually.
Yeah, and here we are with several months to prepare for the draft, and I want to do this exercise to see where everyone's head was at. And here's what we got. The Warriors went ahead and picked Anthony Edwards out of Georgia. The Cavs, the Lockdown hosts, picked LaMelo Ball from, well, I guess from Australia and Chino Hills and wherever else, Lithuania, Spire Academy, wherever else LaMelo Ball is from. And the T-Wolves picked Obi Toppin from Dayton. So, guys, reactions to these three picks, how much, as you're sitting in your war room for the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks, Brad, we'll start with you. How much did those three picks surprise you, screw up your draft board, make you irritated? What's your reaction to those?
I think the Edwards-Ball combination is not a surprise at all at 1 and 2. I wouldn't assume that that's definitely going to be the order, but it would not surprise anybody, I don't think, if Edwards and Ball went 1 and 2 in this draft. So no surprises there. Toppin at 3 is a little bit of a surprise, but people are high on him around the league, so I'm not, like, stunned by that either. The Hawks are in a weird position if they are actually at 4 in this draft, as we were this time around, regardless, just because of the positions that they kind of have filled and their sort of team constructs. But nothing out of the ordinary, too much that messed me up too badly, assuming that the Hawks are actually at 4.
And Alex, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, Edwards, I expect to go in the top 2. LaMelo Ball, again, you know, probably expect to go in the top 2 as well. Doesn't change the fact that it's heartbreaking that he can't be a Knick, because I would say he's the number one guy. Yeah, well, I mean, I would say he's the number one guy on my board, especially from a fit perspective. The other thing being he and his dad are telegraphing it that they want to end up on the Knicks somehow. So, you know, clearly the tactic didn't work, and he didn't end up on the Knicks. Toppin, I think, is a bit of a reach, but that's fine for me because I don't think I would have necessarily taken him at the Knicks pick anyway. So, although I do think that he could have been a decent fit with Mitchell Robinson potentially. Also, the cruel irony of this exercise is that the Knicks are technically the 6th team in the lottery, but I think that they actually have the lowest chances of all their potential landing spots of actually landing at 6, or it's like very close to the lowest. It's kind of funny.
How does that math work? I have no idea, but we don't have to figure that out.
I think they have like 8% of actually being the 6th pick, which is very strange. Like, they have a much higher chance of moving down to 7 than staying at 6, but it increases their odds of getting a top 3 pick, I guess.
Okay, so
it's weird.
So very little chance that there's no movement and or that one team jumps or whatever, how that works. I'm not even going to try to pretend to figure it out. But from a Pistons perspective, certainly no surprise on Edwards and Ball going 1-2, as you guys mentioned. I've got a little bit different of a take on this franchise than a lot of the fan base does, and perhaps with the Pistons personnel is they don't have a general manager right now, so a little hard to kind of put your finger on that. But we've been spending a lot of this quarantine watching a lot of the Bad Boys, watching a lot of the Going to Work, watching the Jordan documentary, thinking about old times, and call me old school, but I just feel like this Pistons franchise kind of needs to reinvent themselves with two-way players. I'm not talking about bringing Rick Mahorn back and playing defense and Bad Boys style, but guys that are able to play defense are a prerequisite of the of playing for the Pistons. And not to say that Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball don't have some base of defensive talent that can be drawn upon. I'm just watching film and not liking what I'm seeing from those guys on that end. With Obi Toppin, I think the 3rd pick is a tough one. As far as the evaluations for what a lot of folks say, it made a lot of sense what Ben made as far as his case for Obi Toppin and the players that the T-Wolves have. They're a little bit different of a position because they have a couple of guys that are, you know, franchise type of players already. So they think of fit more than a Detroit Pistons team would. But Obi Toppin wouldn't fit with the Pistons. I think they have Blake Griffin. I think they have Christian Wood possibly coming back. And then Sekou Doumbouya, who are guys who are best suited at the 4 spot and don't play much defense either. So to have another 4 come in who doesn't play all that much defense, long story short, if I was the general manager of the Pistons, that top 3 couldn't have gone any better, is basically how I'll say that.
Yes, sir!
But let's go to Brad and the Locked On Hawks with the fourth pick of the draft. What do you got there, Brad?
Yeah, this was not easy, I will say, given what the Hawks have on their roster and the couple of guys who are fairly entrenched, headlined by Trae Young. But in the end, I decided to go with Killian Hayes, mostly because he's the best player available, in my opinion. Not a perfect fit, but I don't think there really is a perfect fit for the Hawks in this spot. And I've been pretty clear on my show that I'd be open to trading this pick if I was the Hawks. But if you have to make it, I will go with Killian Hayes.
Yeah, certainly a backup point guard there for Trae Young. Is there any thought that that they would be able to play pretty well together? Does Trae Young have, or one of these guys, you think play off the ball pretty well at some point?
Yeah, I think that plays into it. Hayes has pretty decent size. I'd be on the record if I was the Hawks as not taking like a small guard anywhere in this top half. Like early on, there was some Cole Anthony stuff. Being a potential top five pick, that's kind of cooled now. But he would have been the kind of guy that I wouldn't have taken as the Hawks. But both with Ball, if the Hawks land on the top two, and with Hayes, you have enough size to play alongside Trae Young. And honestly, Trae is really, really good off the ball. He rarely is off the ball, but he's a really good shooter. So if you get him moving a little bit, Hayes has decent size and actually is a pretty good off-ball defender who has some good awareness on man on the floor. I think he'll shoot it eventually as well. Again, not a perfect fit, but I think the combination of having someone who can run the offense when Young is off the floor, that was a huge thing the Hawks did not have this year. And then also someone who has the kind of skill set who can play alongside Young, both in the present and the future as well.
Alex, what's the mood in the Knicks war room as Killian Hayes flies off the board?
Disappointed. definitely someone that I had my eye on outside of LaMelo Ball. He's shooting up draft boards, I think, right now. I mean, he was generally considered somewhere in the, 5 to 10 range for a long time. And now people have started taking a closer look at his tape and realizing he has a pretty diverse offensive skill set. And he's a really, really good passer, which the Knicks certainly need. I actually think that the Knicks have, at least in Frank Ntilikina, a pretty good passing guard, but he's very streaky with shooting and hitting at a consistent rate. And Killian looks like the type that could be like the, potential scoring guard, at the point guard spot that the Knicks haven't been able to wrangle for the last, 15, 18, 20 plus years. So definitely a little bit of disappointment here, but it is what it is. You got to take these things as they come.
Yeah, this is the first pick of the draft that kind of hurts here in the Pistons war room. Takes the number two player off of my Pistons big board and someone that would have been a really tough choice to not pick had he been available at the time that this and this other prospect came out. Hayes, certainly the Pistons need a point guard, and certainly this is a draft where there's a quantity of pretty good point guards out there. But at the end of the day, the Pistons eschew that point guard need again, and it's the fifth pick in the Locked On, the Elite Eight mock draft. The Pistons take Onyeka Okongwu from USC. Now, I know the center position in the NBA is not one that has a whole lot of value. I know if you look at the Pistons roster, you also say this is a team that is devoid of top-end talent, and this is a draft where you might be able to find some guys who are boom or bust potential players. Obviously with Edwards and LaMelo Ball off the board, maybe James Wiseman is that one who there are a lot of people out there who think that it's possible that he could be a star. And I know there's a lot of folks out there who don't like him much as a prospect at all. The case for Onyeka Okongwu is he's a very versatile defensive player. He's only 6'9" or 6'10", depending on where you look, but still manages to protect the rim pretty well. Knocks down some free throws at a very high in the 70s at USC is one season. He's still young. So that free throw shooting shows that possibly there's a chance for a little bit of a jump shot potential. Certainly not something you're banking on, but hopefully the player development staff can get to work there. Rim running, solid screens, rolls to the basket well, and high character, and is a guy who can help turn this culture around as a willing and energized defender, and the type of building block this franchise can use as it continues to rebuild. We have no illusions about the Pistons being a playoff team next season or anything like that. They're going to suffer through another losing season, and maybe in the 2021 draft is where this team can find a star or something close to it as they kind of try to develop slowly and get back to playing Detroit Pistons basketball. So center at number five, what do you guys think?
I actually considered Okongwu. He would have been the other guy that I heavily considered alongside Hayes. Those two were the only guys I had left in a tier. Again, neither of those are ideal fits for the Hawks, who have pretty big investments in John Collins and Clint Capella, which is why they wasn't a no-brainer. But I really like Okongwu. I think he is maybe the safest pick in the entire draft. I wouldn't say he has the highest upside, but I think I am very confident he's going to be a quality NBA player. And in this draft, you can't say that about that many guys. So I'm okay with the pick for sure. I think the value is pretty good there. He may not, you know, change your entire franchise, but I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, I think for you, for the Pistons, that's a pretty solid pick, given, you know, they just moved on from Andre Drummond and all that. You know, it's good to try to plug that hole again right away. For me personally, I'm like jumping for joy in one sense, and also sort of cringing a little bit because this makes my decision that much harder. But Okongwu was not someone that would be on my board personally, because if there's one position that the Knicks pretty much have locked down, it's their traditional center role with Mitchell Robinson already is set up, hopefully for many years into the future. And you know, he's a defensive stalwart and whatever, and not really a need for the Knicks. So I think it's a good pick for the Pistons. Also makes my life harder though, because it leaves me with a lot of options here at the next pick.
I'm glad to hear that, because I'm taking some flack here in Pistons land for it. And all, again, I will reiterate, Onyeka Okongwu is the number one player on my board for the Pistons centric draft board. And I know that sounds insane to probably you guys too, but, let's go to the number six pick in the Delete 8 mock draft. The New York Knicks are on the clock.
Yeah, this is difficult, as I just alluded to. I gave strong consideration to Tyrese Haliburton. I don't know for sure that, like, if you ask me this again in a couple weeks or a month or something, I might change my mind and might go with Haliburton. I also gave, the Knicks apparently have some interest in Cole Anthony. I'm not 100% sold on him myself. So I'm not totally there with that. There is James Wiseman, who, if you're talking just best player available, you can maybe make a case for, but again, I'm not really drafting that way, because I do think that's, there's no possible way you could play him and Mitchell Robinson together. So unless you're looking to trade Robinson, you're not going to go with that. So I settled on, and this is only if the Knicks would keep this pick, which my personal preference would be to try to trade it, try to find a team that's willing to move up and give up a protected first-round pick in the future for someone that they feel really strongly about to move up, you know, a handful of spots. Because I think there's a lot of, you know, the six to, or even you could argue outside of the top three or four picks, there's a lot of, you know, thin margins between guys all the way down to about 15. Or even a little bit later. So, but without carrying on much further, I decided to go with Denny Avdija of Maccabi Tel Aviv in Israel. I'm not even 100% sold on this pick as I'm saying it, but I think from a raw talent perspective, I like what he brings to the table. I think that these sort of playmaking forwards, which is what he projects to be, are sort of the future of the NBA, where he's going to be hopefully sort of a tweener, which used to be like a curse word in the NBA, but now is like what everybody wants. They want this forward who's, you know, 6'9" or so, that can pass the ball, that can hopefully spot up and shoot it, that can, you know, work both as a pick and roll guy, you know, as the ball handler or as the roll/pop man. And I think that he hopefully has that skill set going forward. He's not like a mega elite athlete, but he tries hard on defense, which is all you can ask for. He's a good ball handler for his size. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but, you know, seems pretty savvy and able to grow that part of his game. So I kind of like that. I also like I feel like there would be some good international energy on the Knicks here with him, Frank Ntilikina, RJ Barrett, who obviously went to Duke but came up playing in Canada and all that. I think that there's just a a good mentality among this team if you draft a guy like Avdija, and hopefully that works out. But again, I think if I was, you know, if I think about this for like another month, I might end up taking Tyrese Haliburton in this scenario if he was available, but I guess we'll see. But I think my general sentiment is that because there's so much uncertainty here, let someone else take that chance, hopefully be able to trade down or trade up in the real draft. But I guess we'll see as that comes along for the Knicks.
I think, like you said, about the margins being so thin at this point between I don't love a guy on three on my list that much more than I like a guy at 9 or 10 on my list at that point. Brad, where are you at on Denny Avdija to the Knicks?
Yeah, I think it's perfectly reasonable. I the Knicks would love to have a playmaking guard a la LaMelo or Killian Hayes, but Denny does a lot of things well. I think it's perfectly reasonable investment in this range. And honestly, my whole thought on this draft is it's fairly flat. So you want to take the guys who you think is the best player, the best fit. I'm not a huge draft for fit guy, but at some point in this class, the tiers are so flat that it does make sense to kind of prioritize certain guys based on what you want. And Denny checks a lot of boxes. He's certainly someone who could be a top 3, 4, 5 player overall in this class if things break right. And I think he fits pretty well alongside of what the Knicks have. So no issue whatsoever on this side. I don't think it's like a grand slam, but there aren't a lot of grand slams in this class.
Yeah, and obviously coming over from Europe, a little bit of a wild card there, and that's proven to be sometimes a bit of a boom or bust proposition. And I think we can all agree that this is a worse than average draft. The top end guys, could turn into low range all-stars possibly. And then after that, just a bunch of solid players that you'd like to think have pretty sure that Killian Hayes and Yeko Okongwu, Tyrese Haliburton, Devin Vassell, that these guys are going to be pretty good NBA players. Whereas Avdija might be the one guy who can surprise and go into one of those higher tiers if things work out in a best case scenario for him, given he's got a lot of offensive talent there. Hold that thought. Got to tell you about the most useful app on my phone during the pandemic, and that is Blinkist. That's right. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. You're rolling through that book, but it's taken like a month because you pick it up sometimes, you put it down sometimes. The less daunting version of that, roll through the stuff, get the stuff you need to know on one sitting, and you move on, and you got all the information. Popular books such as Sea Stories, My Life in Special Operations by William H. McRaven, The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance by David Epstein. If there's something that I know about, it's extraordinary athletic performance. No doubt about that. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist is a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA, to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. Also got to tell you guys about RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes out there and models, I mean, they keep adding kinds of cars, brands of cars. It's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. I saw this firsthand at BMP in Ferndale, my parents' store, my parents' wholesaler growing up. I mean, They too many numbers. They couldn't keep the shelves in order. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket as well. They have everything you need, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com is also a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, the prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, compare them to all the other parts out there. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. There's not a preference to the guys inside the biz. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you here from the Locked On Podcast Network. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Brad, you mentioned that you were thinking about Okongwu at the Hayes pick. As you look at the rest of the board and the rest of the guys out there, is there someone that you think Lockdown Hawks might be ruining the day that we passed up this guy, of a guy that's still on the board there?
Not necessarily. I think there are guys who are better, like, pure fits with the Hawks than someone like Hayes, who I took, or Okongwu, just because of the position stuff. So, you know, Isaac Okoro is a local prospect. I think people will like him. He went to high school locally, and I like him quite a bit. He's definitely more of a, you know, defense-first kind of wing. Also, Devin Vassell. Both those guys are wings, so they're more plug-and-play kind of options. You know, for the Hawks, I'm sure people like Wiseman's such a split, as you referenced earlier. The Hawks Wiseman buzz kind of evaporated when they traded for Clint Capela, but I think you could probably find a Hawks fan or two that would still like to have Wiseman as this high upside swing. Other than that, there's not a huge glaring guy. Honestly, for me, the next three guys on my board were probably the guys that we just took in three in a row. Depending on how you feel about Denny, I definitely had, you know, Hayes and Okongwu 4 and 5, so I'm comfortable with it, although I'm sure, as you guys know, fans will be they'll probably find a way to be upset about somebody.
And Alex, you already kind of talked about some of the other guys that you were considering at 6, but really at the end of the day, if the Knicks sit at 5 or 6 or 7 or even 8 or something, they're looking to trade up and package something to get LaMelo Ball, right? And LaVar is going to make sure that happens somehow, right?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that the Knicks aren't caving to anything that LaVar Ball says. That would be a pretty bad look for the brand new front office that they just installed, if they're taking cues from LaVar Ball as to how to approach their draft. But this is definitely the year that the Knicks have the pieces to push in for a trade up in the draft. For once, they have their own pick. They have the Clippers pick, which TBD as to where that's going to exactly be, but as of right now is at 27. I guess we'll see once play resumes where that ends up being, you know, in the total. But then they also have Charlotte's second round pick. They actually don't have possession of their own. They have Charlotte's, but that's a top 10 second round pick as well. So, yeah, as I mentioned already, I think my general plan, if I was Leon Rose and the Knicks contingent here, would be try to move up for LaMelo, or maybe even Killian, if you feel so strongly about him and you can only get up to the third pick or something, and you can put together a competitive package to move up those 3 to 5 slots or whatever. And then, you know, if you can't get those guys, potentially try to trade down. I wish there was an ideal trade partner, like for example, how the Hawks were last year, where they had two top 10 picks that were, I think it was 8 and 9. You know, something like that would have been perfect in this scenario, where if there was a team that had, you know, two picks, say, right in the late part of the lottery, I would probably try to move down to that. Unfortunately, the only team that really has multiple picks this year is Boston, and they're all after the lottery. And I don't know if I'd feel comfortable trading back from, say, 6 to, like, 17 and 25 or whatever they end up being once play resumes. But yeah, I don't know for certain. I do think that this I will say, like, the first spot in the Knicks draft gives me a lot more anxiety than the second spot, because I feel like in the second spot they're going to have a large amount of players that they can choose from in that 27 range that will hopefully be able to become role players. Like, this seems like a very deep draft as far as role players go, just not high on star power. So I feel pretty good about that 27 pick. The top 10 pick, you know, it will probably keep me up at night. Just like I said here, where, you know, there's like 5, 6 guys that I could look at and make a case for. And, you know, you just know if one of them works out better than whoever the Knicks end up taking, it's going to haunt them for years to come.
And Brad already mentioned the Hawks even thinking about trading down as well. So if I'm a Hawks fan or if I'm a Pistons fan, obviously on lottery night you're watching where your teams end up. But I would keep a close eye on the Knicks. And if they stay down below that top four and you're a Hawks or a Pistons fan and you get in that top one or two, you might be thinking about, you know, getting Leon Rose on the phone there and seeing if you can make that trade happen, especially if you're not convinced in the star potential for LaMelo Ball. Obviously doesn't make a lot of sense alongside Trae Young and the Pistons. Certainly there is a point guard need and a star need, but just my personal opinion is that LaMelo Ball's not a Detroit Piston in the red, white, and blue. But just a couple of players I wanted to throw out there as I was considering my pick at number five with Okongwu. I would say the three guys that I was thinking the most of, and probably the guy that was on deck or would have been next, would have been Tyrese Haliburton of Iowa State. We haven't really talked about all that much. But another big guard, good playmaker, willing defensive player as well. He looks like a guy who could be a solid point guard for a team. Came down to Vassell more than Okoro as far as those 2-3-4 wing positions. Vassell being a guy who can, 3-and-D, basically, the definition of that type of player that could really help out, especially if the Pistons are thinking about moving on from Luke Kennard this offseason, as was rumored at the trade deadline. We'll see how that all shakes out. And then the other player that I was thinking of was actually James Wiseman. And I know that we are all kind of maybe shaking our heads at him a little bit, but I was certainly at first, but the more and more I think about it, the more and more I watch him and see those EYBL stats that they had that's, are pretty translatable sometimes, and certainly just the body, the size of him. And again, I know you don't do a lot these days in the NBA with putting a lot into the center position, but certainly a guy with a team like the Pistons who might need a big shakeup, who might need an injection in big time talent. James Wiseman's probably the only guy on the board that had that still at number five that could be out there for the Pistons. But do you guys have any more final thoughts on this draft before we sign off and call this an end of this segment here?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a really interesting draft in some less than ideal ways. I think just the flat nature of it makes it interesting. And there's fortunately for us a lot to talk about. There isn't so many obvious choices along the board, and given that we have to follow this content for several months, it's probably good that there are disagreements to be had, so it should be fun.
Yeah, from a podcast host perspective, this draft is fantastic, because like last year when the Knicks slotted in at number three, it was pretty much, okay, RJ Barrett, okay, tell me a little bit about Culver, tell me a little bit about whoever, but mostly RJ Barrett. It's going to be fun this year from a Knicks perspective at least, and for you guys as well, I'm sure, to have – realistically, I could talk about probably 10 to 15 guys that might realistically have a shot of being Knicks this year, especially prior to the draft lottery. So it's a pretty fun time.
Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks, Alex Wolf of Locked On Knicks, and Matt Shook of Locked On Pistons. Thanks for joining us. All right. Thanks again to Brad and Alex for joining us to talk about the NBA draft. We'll have much more on the GM search tomorrow. That's going to be tomorrow's topic. Be sure to join us for that. But this is your host, Matt Shook, and that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.